the goodness of God. You may be seated. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. You know, you and I routinely call many things good. I mean, we do it all the time. But there's really only one thing, only one person that's intrinsically good. There's only one that's good, and that's our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Psalms 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. The book of James tells that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. It comes, Brother Rucker, from the Father of lights. God is not just good, but he's goodness itself. He's goodness personified. I mean, if you look it up in the dictionary, today, if you just Google the word good or goodness, if you could have a picture of God, you would have his picture by that word good or goodness. So I guess you would see a picture of Jesus Christ. He is good all the time. Now, we have a little cliche. We say it, but it is true. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is a good God. He's a good God. Now we've already examined many of his attributes thus far in this series. We've looked at the fact that God is holy, Sister Sherry. He is a holy God. We looked at the fact that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. We've looked at the fact that God is omniscient. He knows all things. We've looked at the fact that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I mean, my wife and I, our daughter just went out to Phoenix, Arizona to a college. And sure, she's far away, but I wasn't just overly concerned because the same God that's here in Chattanooga, Tennessee is the same God that's out there in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, he's everywhere. Our God is everywhere. We've looked at the wrath of God. We looked at the God. God is a God of wrath. And we've also looked at the fact that God is a God of love. He also is a God of grace and mercy. So this morning, we're going to take a little sneak peek, a little snapshot, if you will, of the fact that God is good, the goodness of God. This is what Jesus said when the rich young ruler came to Jesus one day. We probably remember that biblical account. He came to Jesus, and the first thing he said, good teacher. And I love the way Jesus would interact with people. I mean, Jesus stopped them right there. He said, wait a minute, there's only one good. Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God. And of course, Jesus is God, the Son. So Jesus was basically saying, if I'm good and I am good, that means I'm God. Only God is good. So the scriptures that Jesus himself said, there is only one good, and that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Only God is good. Now, Psalms 107, this psalm that is written, it reminds us to praise and to worship God for his goodness. It reminds us, saints, to thank God for being good. Now, we're in the month of November. We don't have to wait until the fourth Thursday of November to thank God. We should thank God today. I said, we should thank God today. If you live to see tomorrow, you and I should thank him tomorrow. We should thank him throughout this month called November. We should thank him throughout this month, the next month called December. We should thank him if we're blessed to see 2020. Guess what? We need to be thanking him in 2020 for his goodness. We need to be thanking him in 2021 for his goodness. We need to be thanking him throughout 2022 for his goodness. Y'all get the idea. We need to be thanking God on the regular for being a good God. The psalmist said, here it is. This is the only reason you need to give thanks to God. Just thank God because he is good. I said, thank God because he is good. Now, see, he is all powerful. He does know everything. He is everywhere all at the same time, Brother Shivers. So it would be a terrible thing if we served a God who was bad, a God who was some evil deity. But the God that we serve, he is a good God. I say, he's a good God, and I'm glad because he has all power. If he was just some evil God, he could just say, well, when you wake up in the morning, say, I'm just going to torture him today just because I want to, because I'm God. But now our God doesn't do that. When suffering comes into our life, it always has a purpose. Our pain always has a purpose. And check this out. It always has an expiration date. God, our God is good. I say, our God is good. So we should praise him just because this verse one says, just verse one says, thank him because, you want to write this down, it's on your sheet. I'll help you out with the first part, because God is good. His mercy, verse one, his mercy endures forever. His mercy is everlasting. Because God is good, his mercy is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. Why? Because he is good. Because he's a good God. He said, I'm just going to allow my mercy to endure forever. Now, we kind of learned that last week, the mercy of God. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, he said, each morning we have new mercies. He said, great is thy faithfulness, brother and sister Bees. He said, God said, Jeremiah said, great is the faithfulness of our God. Each morning we have new mercies. So you and I are here this morning. Why? Because God is good and he gave us mercy this morning. I mean, we serve a good God. Because of the goodness of God, he created Adam and Eve. Because of the goodness of God, he created you and me. Because of the goodness of God, he does what? He allows us to breathe his air. Do y'all pay God for breathing his air? I don't pay him any money for breathing. I mean, that's free. He just gives that to us for free because he's a good God. He allows us to breathe his oxygen. Matter of fact, he set up this whole system that the plant and the flowers and trees would take in the carbon and oxide, which we breathe out, and turn it back into oxygen. Only God could do something like that. Only God could work that out. So who are these people that think we evolved and this stuff just happened? No. God created all this. God created you and me, and he created all of this. Because he's a good God. Just out of his goodness, this is one of the ways he displays his goodness. God is a good God. I'm reminded oftentimes on Monday morning, several of us go down to the community kitchen and around 10:30 or so. You can join us anytime around 10:30 or so. And we do the pray with people and we talk to people about the goodness of God and about Jesus Christ. And as they get ready to go in and get lunch, and we usually give out water and little granola bars. And I'm amazed. Most of the time when I leave there on Monday, I'm thankful to serve the Lord and serve people, but I'm always sometimes somewhat convicted because as I talk with different people for different reasons, some people are homeless, some people are, you know, doing this and doing that, but many people I talk to, not all, but many of the people that I talk to, they are still thanking God for his goodness. Oh, y'all not hearing me? So if a person who's barely kind of making it and life is kind of rough on them right now, if they can thank God for his goodness, I'm like, man, I'm driving home in my little car and I'm gonna go to a house and get something to eat. I ought to be thanking God all the more for his goodness. God has been a good God more than any of us deserves. And that could be from poverty all the way to a millionaire. None of us deserve the goodness God has given us. But God is a good God. And so he's good because of his goodness. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. Matter of fact, the psalmist, Psalms 23, picks up on it like this. You know, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We know that psalm, right? A wonderful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And he finishes up in Psalms 23, verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So as we talk about the goodness of God, as a child of God, when you and I walk out of here or when we walk into here, guess what? There were two things following us. Oh, y'all not hearing me. I said there were two things following us. God's goodness and his mercy. Matter of fact, left leg, Brother Jim, left leg is God's goodness and right leg is God's mercy. So every time you take a step, it's God's goodness and his mercy that follows you and me all the days of our lives. God's goodness follows us. I mean, I don't know about you. Every now and then I get spiritually kind of spiritually paranoid. I'd be like, what is that behind me? It's some stuff behind me. What is it? It's God's goodness and his mercy that's following me all the days of my life. God's goodness follows us, watches over us all the days of our lives. So the psalmist said, he suggests you ought to give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. And here's an example, because his mercy endures forever. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody ought to say something. I mean, God is so good. Somebody just ought to say something. Somebody ought to say, hey, just, you know how sometimes you be in church or you just be, sometimes people just holler out, hey, I was driving down 153. I think I told y'all this a few months ago. And I just, after thinking about the goodness of God, and I just holler, hey, I just hollered out. And I don't know if any cars were around me or if they thought I was crazy or what, but I just thought about the goodness. I just had to holler out. So the psalmist says, somebody ought to just say something. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord, Brother Rodney, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So watch this. I'm going to give you number two and number three on your sheet right there. Because God is good, he has redeemed us. Because of his goodness, he has redeemed us. Because of his goodness, he has redeemed us. He's bought us with the precious blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed. And I'll give you the definition of redemption in just a moment. But because God is good, he has redeemed us. He didn't have to do it. I say he didn't have to do it. Because he's good. He said, I'm going to redeem a people for myself. I read it in Isaiah 53. He said, I'm going to redeem a people for my own possession. Because God is good. He has redeemed us. He has redeemed me and you, the child of God. Third thing on your sheet there, because God is good, right out of verse 2, because God is good, he rescues us from the hand of the enemy. He rescues us from the hand of the enemy. He could leave us in the hand of the enemy. But because God is good, he rescues us from the hand of the enemy. Because God is good, he has redeemed us. Because God is good, he rescues us from the hand of the enemy. That's reason enough right there to thank him, saints. Thank God that you've been redeemed. Thank God that he's rescued you from the hand of the enemy. And then this word redemption, simply means deliverance by payment of a price. Redemption. If you've been redeemed, if you're born again, if you're not born again, today you can give your life to Christ. Today is a good day to get saved. Today is a day of salvation. But to be redeemed or the redemption simply means deliverance by payment of a price. Deliverance by payment of a price. And that payment, that price was the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Redemption. Now you've been redeemed by the payment of a price. That price was paid to God the Father. It wasn't paid to the devil. Some people erroneously teach that. But no, it was paid to God the Father. Somebody had to pay God. I mean, God is a holy God. So you and I all had sinned against God. So somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to appease the wrath of God. Somebody had to satisfy the holy righteousness of God. And only the Lamb of God, only our sinless Savior could do that. So for that reason, saints, we ought to thank God for redeeming us. We ought to thank Jesus for redeeming us. So the psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He said, the enemy had you. I said, the devil had you. The enemy had you. Let me just name a few enemies that had you and me. A lion had you. Some of you, lion had some of you. Whoremongering had some of you. Gossiping had some of you. Pride had some of you. Drugs and alcohol had some of you or some of us. Self-sufficiency had you. Fear paralyzed you. I'm talking about the enemy had you, but God, he was the only one, Sister Scott, that could rescue you. Anxiety and stress might have been the one that had you. But somebody or something had you. But God, because of his goodness, but God, because he's a good God, so I'm going to rescue you from whatever had you bound. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to rescue you. He said, you've been rescued. You've been redeemed. You've been rescued from the hand of the enemy. Now I say this regularly. The enemy comes in three main forms. The enemy comes. He's the devil. He's Satan. He's our enemy. He's an accuser of the brethren. I don't like him and he don't like me. He's the enemy. He's the devil. He's the enemy. He's the enemy. Also the world, this world system, it's our enemy, this world system. But also the biggest enemy that you and I have, the biggest enemy that we have is the flesh. Me, myself, and I. When I get up every morning, when I look in the mirror, my greatest enemy that day is that joker I'm looking at in the mirror. Hey, that person is looking right back at me. That's your case too. Your case too. That's our greatest enemy, ourselves, the flesh. You know, Flip Wilson, it was funny and cute and cliche. It's way back in the 60s and 70s. I'm going to date myself a little bit. But Flip Wilson, Geraldine character, had it wrong. That little character, y'all, the devil made me do it. Anybody remember that? Y'all going to leave me out here on this limb all by myself? Some of y'all remember that show back in the 70s, the Flip Wilson show. Geraldine, I got a couple of hands going up. She's always a few more hands. All right, confession is good for the soul. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You can Flip Wilson show. But Geraldine used to always say, the devil made me do it. The devil. Now, the devil can't make us do nothing. Man, the devil, he tempts us, he entices us, he all of that, but he can't make us do nothing. He especially as a Christian, as a child of God, we got a new master now. Come on, somebody, we got a new master now. Now he used to maybe make me do some stuff, but I'm on the new management now. I'm on the new ownership now. I like my new master a lot better. But because God is good, he has redeemed us from the enemy. Again, what have you been delivered from? What have you been rescued from? I listed some things earlier. Permit me to maybe list a few more. Maybe jealousy had you bound. The thing you have been rescued from is uncontrollable anger, or maybe low self-esteem, or maybe bad language, just stuff coming out of your mouth that just was not pleasing to God. Maybe it was depression or greed or just a lack of joy. Maybe here's another one. Here's another thing that can bind us. Unforgiveness over old hurts. Unforgiveness over old hurts. Maybe perhaps some type of sexual sins, and there's a plethora of them. But if you're redeemed, if you're born again, if you're saved, you've been saved from something. You've been saved from some stuff. Number one, we've been saved from a burning hell. That's number one. That's reason enough to shout right there. You know, hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. But if you're saved, you've been saved from something. I mean, come on. Now, you've been, if there's been no change in your life, if you was going in one direction and you met Christ and you kept going in that same direction, you really didn't meet Christ. Because when you meet him, he turns you around. He puts you on a new plan. Puts you on a new program. Well, I wish I could say it out of my mouth the way I feel it in my heart. But when you meet God, when you meet Christ, he changes you. The Bible says simply, we are born again. We are new creatures in Christ. Now, I know some of y'all, why y'all was a little extra reserved or laid back. Maybe it's because you still bound. You know, you can be a Christian and still have things shackling you, still have things chained on you. But again, here's the hope and here's the shout. As a Christian, you ought to know that once again, God has changed something in your life. Maybe you had two or three things that had you bound, but when you came to Christ, he took one or two of them out of your life, and he's still working on this one over here. Matter of fact, we're all a work in progress, but we're making some strides in this thing called Christian maturity. Matter of fact, we're growing in grace. We're growing in Christ. So if he delivered you from one thing, guess what? He can deliver you from something else. Let me say that again. If he delivered you from one thing, he can deliver you from something else. So because he is good, he has redeemed us. He who has begun a good work in us, he will complete it. We're like clay in the potter's hand. He's still working on us. So if we got some anger and hatred in us that shouldn't be there, God is working on it. And he can take that out and put forgiveness in there. If we got hatred in our life, he can take that out and put love in there. If we got stress and anxiety all dominating our life, he can take that out and put some peace and some joy in there. I mean, God is still working on us. He's still working on us. He's still working on us. When I used to work at TVA, I was a computer programmer there, and some of the programmers might know about this. When you were working on certain stuff and doing your little programming, and sometimes things were in progress, it wasn't the completed final thing yet, and they put it in what they used to call a WIP library. WIP, a WIP library. And it would sit, the data would sit in that WIP library until certain things were done to that data. Well, WIP, this is what it stands for, work in progress. Are y'all not with me this morning? Y'all making the preacher work hard this morning. work in progress. And then eventually, once the data that was in that WHIP library, once everything got right, you put it on out, and then it was a finished product. Watch this. All of us, we're in the WHIP library. We in the work in progress library. God is still working on us. He ain't through with us yet. But I thank God. The old saints used to say it this way. I may not be what I ought to be. I may not be what I should be. But I thank God. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. Some folks probably like, I mean, I used to cuss folks out in 1 second. They say, now at least it takes me about 30 minutes to get mad enough to cuss them out now. But I'm making progress. I'm making progress. You know, God is working on us. He's working on us. So be encouraged. He's working on you. Keep on standing on the potter's wheel. Keep on standing on the potter's wheel. I like what Philippians 2 says. Philippians 2 says it this way. It says, work out your salvation, or work out your soul or your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, or both to will and to do for his good purposes. Let me say that again. Work out your salvation, not work for. Salvation is a free gift from God. We know that. But work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Watch this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good purposes. So watch this. While I'm working out spiritually, I'm not talking about barbells or the bench press and that, but while I'm working out spiritually, God is working in. Let me say that again. While I'm working out, while you're working out spiritually, while I'm reading my Bible, while I'm praying, while I'm coming to church, while I'm doing the spiritual discipline, while I'm working out, God is working in. It's an inside job. The Holy Spirit of God is working inside of us. Because see, all of us, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, so we got all kind of mess in our lives that God has to throw out. Let me say that again. We got all kind of mess in our lives that God has to throw out. So God is working. I mean, God is so good. He gives us a new nature. We're born again. But he doesn't just throw everything out at the same time. He lets us work. He works on a little bit at a time. I say he works on a little bit at a time. If he give us the whole list at the first time, you might say, well, okay, I'll just go back to doing it. I can't do all that right now. So God gives us a little bit at a time. He begins to work on it, but we need to be growing in grace. We need to be growing in Christ, growing in holiness. So check this out. Because God is good, his mercy is everlasting. Because God is good, he has redeemed us, Satania. He has redeemed us. Because God is good, he has rescued us from the hand of the enemy. So if anything is trying to bind you, if anything is trying to shackle you, if anything is trying to trip you up in a particular sin, leave it at the altar today. Leave it with the Lord today. The Lord said, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. Matter of fact, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find hope in a time of need. So God said, leave it here with me. I'll help you work through this thing. I said, he said, I'll help you work through this thing. He said, I gotta press this one more time. He said, I'll help you work through this thing. This particular psalm, again, verse 2 says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Then verse 3 says, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This particular psalm, Psalm 107, was written specifically to the Israelites, the children of God, the Israelites, relating to their various captivities. This particular portion looks like it was pointing to their Egyptian captivity. But they had other captivities as well, the Babylonian captivity and others. But God in the psalmist is reminding the people, hey, look, I've been good to you. Do y'all remember when I brought you out of captivity? Do y'all remember in verse 3 there about how you wandered out in the east and from the west? And all of us have been in some type of captivity. I said, all of us have been into some type of captivity. We've been captive by something. I mean, we've all been in some type of captivity, but because God is good, write this down, he is a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty deliverer. He can bring us out. Whatever have us bound or whatever captivity we're in, because God is good, he is a mighty deliverer. So if you're in Christ, once again, you's free now. You're free from a lot of you. You's free now. My wife and I went to see Harriet Tubman, that movie on Friday. That's a good movie. I would recommend, this is a free commercial break for them. I would recommend you going to see that movie. That's a good movie, you know, based on her true life. Of course, we know right next door to us used to be the Harriet Tubman Projects, and we used to minister to a lot of people there. And but that's a good movie. And she walked with God, and you know, she wanted her freedom. She said, I want to be free. Now, I'm not telling y'all the movie, though. You can go read the history book and know that, you know, she was a freedom. She led people to freedom, right? That's what she did. She led people to freedom. And she said, I got to have my freedom. And not just me. I want to go back and get some more folks for freedom. But look, spiritually, saints, because God has brought us out and God has us born again, we ought to be like, man, thank you, Lord, for freeing me. Thank you that I belong to you. I want to go back and tell some other folks. I want to go and bring somebody else out. I know you're the one that's doing it, Lord, but I want to go and give them some words or share my testimony or share the good news with them that you might bring some more folks out. Don't just be happy. Oh, I'm glad I made it through. I'm on my way to heaven. Let the rest of them, they just go where they're supposed to go. No, go tell somebody. I said, go tell somebody. Let the redeemed of the Lord, Brother Chris, say so. CJ, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So God is a mighty deliverer. They were wandering, but look at verse 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Like I said, this is talking about a real, these are real instances, things that happened when they were wandering around in the wilderness. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Verse 4 and 5, their soul fainted in them. You know, y'all probably read that in your Bibles, or at least at the very minimum, seen the Ten Commandments movie. You know, when God brought them out, I mean, think about it, parted the Red Sea. Soon they got over there on dry ground good. Soon as Moses went up on the mountain to commune with God and get the commandments. I think he was up there about 40 days. As soon as he's up on what happened down in the valley? Next thing you know, they started having a party. See, I know y'all thought the partying just started back in the 20s or 30s or whatnot. They were partying way back in the Bible, probably. They started a party and they built a golden calf and did all that stuff. Isn't it amazing? God had just brought them out. They had seen all the 10 plagues in Egypt. God had brought them out through the Red Sea on dry ground, drowned the mighty Egyptian army. And yet, a few days later, they forget about all that God had done, and they start doing their own thing. Now look, before we paint a finger at them too quickly, how many of us are guilty? How many of us are guilty of forgetting about the goodness of God and the grace and mercy God shows us on a regular basis, and we start doing just our own thing? We're guilty too. But because God is good, his mercy and grace, he still comes in and gives us another chance because of his mercy and grace. Now this psalm, you might want to write this down. We're obviously not going to go through all the psalm, but this whole psalm, Psalm 107, all the verses of it, he deals with four different P's, I call them. The first thing is, and this is really kind of like our life, a snapshot of your life and my life. We see first man's problem or man's predicament. Just like now, they're wandering around in the wilderness. Man's problem. Because we're talking about the goodness of God. Man's problem, man's predicament, man's problem or man's predicament. Then, secondly, the other P, we see man's prayer. Or man's plea. You know, I got a problem. I got a predicament. Man's problem, man's predicament. So here it is. I'm going to pray to God. That's a good thing to do. Man's plea, or man's prayer, Sister Howie, Brother Sidney, Sister Elaine, to God. And then third, God's pardon. God's pardon. You got man's problem. You got man's prayer. You got God's pardon. And then because of that, because I had a problem, because I prayed about it, because God came through, he rescued, he worked that thing out, he pardoned me, I'm going to praise him. Man's praise. Man's praise. That's the flow, that's the genre of this psalm and much of scripture in and of itself, really the whole Bible. Man's problem. Man's plea and prayer, God's pardon, and man's praise. And man's praise. just like these people in the text had wandered around in the wilderness. I don't care how far, hear me well, I don't care how far you've drifted off course. I don't care how far you have gotten lukewarm in your love for the Lord. Or I don't care how far you are from God. Cry out to God. Turn to God. Cry out to him and he will answer your cry. He will answer your cry. It's right here in the text. It's right here in the text. Listen to what it says. Verse 6. Now they had been disobedient. They were doing their own thing. Wandering around in the wilderness. Again, like I said, this is a picture shortly after they come out of captivity from the Egyptians. Verse 6 said, then they cried out. Somebody said, cry out. That's a good thing to do. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he, our God, who is good, he, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered them out of some of their distresses. Is that what it says? He delivered them out of their distress. All their distress. He delivered them out of their distresses. They cried out to the Lord, and he heard them, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. I gotta press this and read this in a few more verses. We're going to put verses 28 through 32 on the screen for you. But verse 13 says a similar thing, saints. They cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. He saved them out of all, out of their distresses, but out of their distress. He saved them out of their distresses. Then right over in verse 19, he says the same thing in case we missed it the first time. Verse 19 of Psalms 107 says, then they cried out. Somebody say cry out. They cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He saved them out of their distresses. And then in verses 28 through 32, bear with me as I read this, Psalms 107, then they cry out. See, when we're reading the word of God, sometimes you have to just obviously all the time pray and sometimes slow down a little bit. You see, those previous times, it was like past tense. They cried out. I cried out yesterday or last year or 10 years ago. I cried out unto the Lord and he delivered me. But then when we look at verse 28, he switches it up on it. He goes present tense and future tense. He says, look, okay, that was a past. I cried out to him yesterday and he heard me and delivered me out of my distresses. Here it is today. Then they cry out. That's like present. That's like ongoing. They cry out, Sister Tamara. They cry out unto the Lord, in their trouble, and he brings them. That's a continuing action. He brings them out of their distresses. I ought to have two or three witnesses here this morning that know that you can cry out unto the Lord. You have cried out to the Lord and you do cry out to the Lord and he hears your cry and delivers you out of all your distresses. He brings you through every time. His record is impeccable. He brings us through. Sometimes we may have a few scars, few scratches, but he brings us through. I can think of many times I've cried out unto the Lord, and he heard my cry and delivered me out of my distresses. Y'all not hearing me. His record is impeccable. Cry out unto him. I said, cry out unto him. He will hear your cry. He will hear your faintest cry. I remember in 92 when I cried out to him for salvation. Guess what? God answered my cry and I got born again. I remember even when I was in college one time, I was interviewing, trying to get a job and all that stuff wasn't working out too good. I cried out unto the Lord. I cried out unto the Lord and the Lord worked out a miraculous thing that hooked up and ended up, I got a job at TVA. I never even heard of TVA. Didn't even know what Chattanooga was. I'm from Arkansas. I'm from Southern Arkansas. But God worked that thing out. I'm saying, God, you can cry out to God. That's just a couple of examples. Cry out to him. He hears your cry. He answers your cry. And watch this. Paul cried out three times. God, I always try to preach it in balance. He cried out three times about that thorn in his flesh. And God said, wait a minute, I'm not going to remove it. God said, I'm not going to remove it. But God said, this is what I'm going to do, brothers and sister Griggs. He said, my grace. That's still a good God. He could just say, I'm not going to remove it. Deal with it the best way you can. Now, God said, my grace is sufficient. So all I'm trying to tell you, church, when you cry out to God, he answers your cry. Sometimes he pulls you out of that situation. But sometimes if he leaves you in that situation, whatever that situation is, I promise you, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And even while you're in that situation, sometimes he got to leave us in there to work some stuff in our lives. It's kind of like the caterpillar. Had to step in and out a couple of times this morning. I think I heard Brother Bray talk a little bit about the caterpillar. You all know about the caterpillar, right? The caterpillar gets in that cocoon. And then they go through that process of metamorphosis, a change. And then they begin to kind of break out of the cocoon. And you or me might see that caterpillar struggling, trying to get out of that cocoon. And be like, I got to help it out. I got to help it get on out of that cocoon quickly and fast. And guess what? If you do that, you just messed up the caterpillar the rest of his life. You just messed him up the rest of his life. See, the process, the way God has designed it, as he's struggling to get out of that cocoon, y'all not hearing me, as he's struggling to get out of that cocoon, God is strengthening his wings. And by the time he struggles and get out, guess what? He can fly on off. So if you run and get him out of there, guess what? He won't be able to fly. Sometimes you and I, we need to pray for better spiritual discernment. Sometimes God got people struggling and stuff, and sometimes we just run and go and bail them out all the time. We got to be careful with this. God, let me help where I need to help. Let me do what I need to do, because I don't want to get them out of there. If you really got them in that situation for a reason, strengthening their wings a little bit. So sometimes we got to say, God, how do I need to help? The saints, cry out to God, and he will hear and answer your cry. He's a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty. I've conducted a survey. I've conducted a poll. I don't know if you can call it scientific or unscientific or inscientific or whatever. I've conducted a poll on the goodness of God. And I've contacted people who know God personally. I've contacted people who know Jesus Christ personally. And guess what? The results are coming in. I said, the survey is about complete. Now I'm getting the results back. And guess what? I'm reading them right now. Guess what all the results say? People who know God personally, who know him intimately. Guess what? All the results are, everybody saying that our God is a good God. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Everybody that knows him personally, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you know God, you know he's a good God. He's a good God because of his goodness. His mercy is everlasting. Because he's a good God, he has redeemed us. Because he's a good God, he rescues us from the hand of the enemy. Because he's a good God, he's a mighty deliverer. Anybody with me this morning? He's able to deliver you. Let me say that one more time. He's able to deliver you. He's a mighty deliverer. Verse 7. Let me read verse 6 again. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. I'm almost through. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And watch this. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Because God is good. He always, hear me well, he always leads us the right way. Because God is good. He always lead us the right way. You can't get down the road or get down the dumpster. Oh, God led me the wrong way. No, God told you to go right. And you, that was your crazy self. You went left. You led yourself the wrong way. God has never, think about that, saints. God has never led me the wrong way. God has never told me something that wasn't true. Matter of fact, it's the opposite. When God tells me something, I go the other way. I'll be like, oh, man, I messed up. I knew I should have listened to what the word of God said. I knew I should have listened to the voice of God. I knew I should have listened to what the Lord spoke to my heart. I knew I should have listened to what that seasoned saint told me. God always leads us the right way. We can trust God. Because he is good, he always leads us the right way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says it this way. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He will order your steps. He does it. He leads us the right way every time. That's why we need to ourselves model that. But even with our children or other young people that we know, I know at the earlier age, not like people might not have told you different, but I know if I'd have followed some things, what the Lord said earlier in life, I said, if I would have followed the advice of God earlier in my life, I would have avoided a bunch of heartache and headaches. Anybody here? It's some stuff I did I wish I would not have done. It's some things I experienced I wished I would have not experienced. If only I would have listened to the voice of God. Now that's a lesson for then and now. Listen to the voice of God. He would never lead you the wrong way. I cringe when I hear people say, look, well, especially people who, you know, claim to be in the Lord. Well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but whatever comes after that but, it can't be no good. It can't be too good. If God said it, stick with it. Ride it out. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to our little mind. Sometimes it'd be like, but his ways are not our ways. But everything God says, Sister Consuela, everything that God does is right. Because he's good. He's a good God, Sister Jane. He's good. He's good. He's good. In verse 89, as some of the other preachers say, I'm in my seat. After verse 89, I'm in my seat. Oh, that man. I can say this. Sister Pat is not here today. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his goodness. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his. See, that's reason enough right there. I'm just going to camp there again. You know, I meant to say this at the very beginning. I could have made this sermon about 2 minutes long, brother. You know, it could have been about 2 minutes. Give thanks to the Lord because he's good. Just give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. We can just end it right there. I shouldn't have to give you any other reasons. It's reason enough to thank God because he's good. Thank God because he's good. Thank God because he's good. Verse 31, you see it on the screen. Verse 31, listen to what it says. Verse 31 says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people. Y'all see that? I don't know if y'all like me. Sometimes I just read too fast and miss what I'm reading. Listen to what the psalmist says. To give thanks to the Lord, brother, for his goodness, right? And then it says, for his wonderful works. Then it says, let them, the dim, who is the dim? That's us. That's us. That's me and you. Let them do what? Exalt God. Exalt him. Lift him up. In the assembly, I think we assembled this morning, right? We're in the assembly of the people, right? I'm not eisegeting the text. I'm not eisegeting. It's right here in the Bible. I'm just pulling out what's in the Bible. And let them exalt him in the assembly of people. And do what? Praise him. Praise him in the company of the elders or in the leaders, if you will. So that's what we ought to do. Every time we come together here at Love Fellowship, every time you run into a saint somewhere out there on the street, you ought to start praising the Lord. I said, y'all just start praising. Y'all say, how you doing, brother? Well, don't we serve a good God? Don't we serve a gracious God? We're all just praising right here in the middle of Walmart. Let's just praise the Lord right here. Try that sometime. We get excited about all kind of other stuff. Hey, I'm a closet Tennessee fan. So since they winning a little bit, I got excited last night when they won the little game. Since Arkansas not winning, So we get excited about everything else. I mean, seriously, we get excited about everything. Hey, get excited about the Lord. I mean, genuinely, I'm not talking about some fake, emotionalism. I'm just saying, as you and I begin to think about the goodness of God, the fact that he is so good because of his goodness, the fact that his mercy is everlasting, because he is good, he has redeemed us, because he is good, he rescues us from the hand of the enemy, because he is good, he is a mighty deliverer, because he is good, he always leads us the right way, because he is good. Here's another one. You didn't write this one down. Let me get this one to you. Because he is good, his works are wonderful. I mean, everything God does is wonderful. I mean, his works are wonderful. I mean, Sister Carrie is a great artist, but you're not as good an artist as God. God is the greatest artist. You do good. God's works are marvelous. You ever just be riding something, especially they call this a scenic city. And I must admit, Chattanooga is a beautiful little city with the mountains and stuff. And this time of year, I know it was dry and a lot of leaves have already fallen. But Sister Cousin and I talk about this sometimes. You see the leaves change, especially if you go up toward Nashville, you know, just seeing the beautiful orange and red and yellow. Romans 1 said all of creation screams out there is a God. We went to the Grand Canyon. I was like, man, my wife wanted to go and I was cool. That's cool. I was thinking to myself, that's just a big old hole in the ground, I think, isn't it? But man, we got over there and man, I was just amazed at the grand. I mean, you be right here and you look and like, well, okay, that's great. You go over here about 20 feet away and you think about, I'm going to see the same thing. It's like, be a whole different perspective. Like, man, it was just amazing. God's creation. The stars, the moon. I mean, we serve an awesome God because he is good. His works are marvelous. And even his attributes, you know, his mercy, his grace, his love, because he is good, his works are marvelous. Are y'all getting this morning? Because he is good, his works are marvelous. And not only that, as I finish this on up, not only that, our Psalms, moving back to Psalms 107 a little earlier in the verses, it says that he satisfies, verse 8, men should give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. Also, the latter part of verse 8 of Psalms 107. Listen, I'm excited about all of these, but I think this one right here speaks to my heart more than any of them. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's a personal touch there. God is so good. Part of his goodness is he satisfies the longing soul. Psalms 42 would say it this way. The psalmist said, as a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? See, God has created all of us, those who are saved, those who are unsaved, with a God-shaped vacuum. There's a void, there's an emptiness in all of our lives that only God himself, only Jesus himself can fill. No amount of money, no amount of prestige, no amount of glory, glamour, no amount of you fill in the blank. That person is still at the end of the day. If they don't know God personally, Sister Ingram, if they don't know Jesus personally, that person is still empty. There's still a void in there. I can't get enough money. Can't make enough movies. Can't be great enough in sports. I mean, I'm trying to reach this significance. I got at the top of the corporate ladder. And that's called, all that stuff is okay. But I still, there's more. Well, the more is, a relationship with God. And God is so good. God says, I will satisfy that longing soul. I will satisfy that hunger and thirst that I've put in you in the first place. Only I can do it, God says. Only I can do it, Jesus said. Nobody else can do it. So because God is good, he satisfies the longing soul. God is so good. He said, I want to tabernacle with you. Matter of fact, I want to be so close to you, I'm going to come and live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Y'all not hearing me this morning? That's because of the goodness of God. He said, I want to dwell with you. I want to indwell you, be part of you. That's a good God. I said, that's a good God. I said, he not only blesses us from afar. He said, no, I want to come and hang out with you. I want to make my tabernacle with you. I want to make my abode with you. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So, saints, I got to point you back to verse 8. Then, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Because, once again, he always leads us the right way. His works are wonderful. Because God is good. He satisfies a longing soul. Because God is good, his mercy is everlasting. I'm just writing the text, verses 1 through 9. Because God is good, he has redeemed us. Because God is good, he does rescue us from the hand of the enemy. Because God is good, he is a mighty deliverer. Can I have a witness? He's a mighty deliverer. He can deliver you from stuff you didn't think you would never get delivered from. He's a mighty deliverer. And that's not all. That's just in verse 9. I'm going to give you a couple more and I'm through. Because God is good, his grace is sufficient. Because God is good, his grace is sufficient. Because God is good, his mercy is everlasting. Because God is good, his love never changes. Because God is good, his power is unlimited. Because God is good, his wisdom is perfect. Because God is good, his presence is everywhere. Because God is good, his name is great. Because God is good, his strength is perfected. Because God is good, his judgments are righteous. Because God is good, his wrath is just. Because God is good, he is slow to anger. Y'all not hearing me? Because God is good, he is slow to anger. Because God is good, he is full of loving kindness. Because God is good, he demonstrated his own love toward me. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Because God is good, he sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is good, when Jesus walked planet earth, he healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He gave eyesight to the blind. He allowed the lame to walk and the deaf to talk. Because God is good. Because God is good, he sent Jesus to Calvary's cross. Y'all ain't hearing me. Because God is good, Jesus died on Calvary's cross. Matthew said he died until the earth did shake. He died until the graves opened up and the saints of old came and strutted around Jerusalem. He died that Friday evening because God is good. You and I was under the wrath of God, but because he's a good God, he wanted to spare us his wrath because God is good. Because God is good, they laid Jesus in a borrowed tomb until that Sunday morning. Until that Sunday morning. And because God is good, early that Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, that's just a gospel message, because Jesus Christ got up with all power in his hands. Why? Because God is good. And because God is good, Jesus walked the earth 40 more days, talking to his disciples, giving them some instructions. And because God is good, God said, come on back home, son. You finished the course. You completed your race. And so Jesus went on back into heaven. And because God, it doesn't stop there, because God is good, Jesus Christ, God the Son, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and me. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Praying for you and me, even right now, because God is good. So he's praying for us right now. Watch this. He's up in heaven right now. But because God is good, one day he's going to send Jesus back for me and you. Oh, y'all not hearing me. One day he's going to send Jesus back for you and me. The angel said much better than me. Acts 1, ye men of Galilee, why y'all stand here gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus is coming back again one day. Because God is good. Because God is good. One day, we're going to be with him forevermore. Matter of fact, Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you would be there also. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And then they said, wait a minute, where are you going, Jesus? We don't have a GPS. We don't know how to get there. Where are you going? Jesus, okay, that's good. That's a good question. That's a good question. Jesus, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Just follow me. I'll take you on there. Because your father and my father, he's a good God. And one day, the Bible says, one day, because God is good, he's going to give us a new heaven. Now, this earth we on right now, it's kind of corrupt and it's kind of messed up. But guess what? God said, because I'm good, I'm going to redo it the way I first did it in Genesis 1 and 2. I'm going to give you a new heaven and a new earth because he's a good God. Not only that, God said, it's still more. I'm running out of time. Not out of Bible, but I'm running out of time. Because God is good. One day, this is in the Bible. One day, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes because God is good. One day he said, you're going to be with me where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. But why? Because he's a good God. Oh, you ought to wave your hands, clap your hands, shout or something. You know that he is a good God. He was good yesterday. He's good today. He's going to be good tomorrow. He's going to be good next year. He's going to be good next decade, next century, next forever. He's a good God. Our God is good. He's a good God. Oh, do I have a few witnesses? He's a good God. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. He's a good God. He's a good God. Oh, he's a good God. I got to say it a few more times. I'm going to sit down. He's a good God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God, brother. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. He's a good God, brother. Our God is a good God. He's a good God. Oh, he's a good God. He's a good God. I know I got to do the benediction. I'm going to run outside and say he's a good God a little bit more today. He's a good God. He's a good God. Our God is 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 a good God. I'm through. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Woke us up this morning. Gave us reasonable health and strength. Sound and in my right mind. Put a little food on the table. Put a little clothes on my back. We even had some bread from Sister Gwen's house to eat this morning. He's a good God. I said, he's a good God. 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 If you can't stand, please stand. He's a good God.